Foreplay presented by Barstool Sports. We are in Shinnecock Hills. We are, I don't know, a couple hundred yards from the golf course.
It's a stone's throw. We are very close.
We're a 9-iron away from the golf course.
Yep.
Frankie just got here.
Just walked through the door.
So this is going to be a very interesting show because we've been credentialed now for 2 days at the U.S. Open. Unlike any other experience you've ever seen, Frankie's going to probably be pretty inquisitive. Like, what the hell has this been like? What am I getting myself into tomorrow?
Yep.
It's Wednesday night of U.S. Open week. A lot of shit's going on, a lot of storylines. The golf course has been a massive star. We've basically had our way with the golf course, been able to do whatever the hell we want, which we're going to get to. We're going to get to all of these things. This show is brought to you by our good friends at Supreme Golf. Can't tell you how awesome Supreme Golf is. I cannot explain enough how dumb you are if you don't use Supreme Golf, because it just doesn't make sense. Supreme Golf is obviously a tee time booking app website. You go to supremegolf.com/barstool and you're going to realize that every other tee time booking app you've ever heard of or website you've ever heard of is underneath of Supreme Golf, plus thousands of others that you haven't heard of, all at discounts, all kinds of good stuff. They are the largest tee time database in the world. We're going to be talking about them a lot because they're awesome. And if you don't use them, you are very dumb. So go to their website, supremegolf.com/barstool. Download their app, Supreme Golf, Supreme Golf, Supreme Golf. They're awesome.
I would look at Barstool all the time and look at, you know, their stuff that they post. And some of it's like absolutely stupid, but some of it's actually quite amusing and funny. Stuff like that is what we need to get people to, or attract people to the game of golf.
Nice to be here, boys. Congratulations on all that you're doing, as mediocre as it is.
These newer, younger, hipper platforms like Barstool Sports.
Tiger's had three back surgeries. He's had one fusion.
We welcome in from Barstool Sports, Riggs and Trent. Guys, welcome to the show. Well, I've won.
We got here Tuesday evening.
Yep.
Myself, Trent, Heggs, who's running the whole operation right now. Dominating, by the way. Heggs is doing great.
He's had a good couple first days. I don't know if we've even told Heggs that, but we just told him now.
It's hard to come in and have a better couple of days. I mean,
he's been on top of his shit.
He brought fucking gifts.
Yep.
On top of shit. He's whipping up videos like some sort of wizard.
Yep.
So it's been great. Heggs is awesome. We'll see if the sound audio comes out now. That would be really, really fantastic. But anyways, we got here Tuesday. We drove up from the city. Get here Tuesday evening. You know, it's like you're credentialed and you kind of think, okay, like that'll be a little bit of a step up of an experience.
Yeah, we don't have any idea what it's like to even like sniff credentials. So we know what it's like to definitely not be credentialed. And you just figure your quality of tournament viewing will be turned up just a little bit if you get credentials.
I don't think I can ever go back to watching a tournament not credentialed.
It's great.
Frankie, it's insane.
I see the credential is literally hanging off of Trent's neck right now. It's like 11 o'clock at night. You have not taken it off.
I refuse to take this
thing off. I can't imagine.
I'm going to sleep in this thing tonight.
Frankie, you can basically like hit a fucking tee shot with credentials. They just let you do whatever you want.
Well, the funny thing about credentials so far that we have is we haven't asked anybody in terms of like what are the limits of these credentials, because we don't want
to
know.
That was going to be my main question. Like, there has to be a level of credentials. There has to be a credential where like you can just walk into the fucking clubhouse. There has to be a credential where you can like literally walk like anywhere. Have we reached our limit yet of where like this brown or whatever color we may have?
As of right now, we have not been turned away from anything.
Nothing.
That's insane.
We've just done legitimately whatever we wanted. So we arrived on Tuesday evening. You know, it took us a while to find our lot. There's some traffic. We finally find the lot. We're excited. We roll over. We get right through security. No problem. It's like, I don't know, 6:30 p.m.
Yeah, I got it. Yep, that is right.
So everyone else is leaving or gone from the golf course. It's a beautiful evening. We enter the golf course. We walk right into the media center, which is just this massive room.
It's a pristine room with large TVs and
huge TVs from the pictures I've seen.
Biggest fucking TVs I've ever seen. You know, you got like even just having like a home base somewhere where you have like outlets and somewhere to blog.
Yeah, at a certain point, I was like, I need to charge my phone. It's going to die. And Riggs is like, there are outlets in every single corner and every single crevice of this room.
Yeah. Because
there's so many things.
There's outlets. There's like Power surge things everywhere with endless outlets just coming out of the walls.
It's like, and it should, awesome. I guess it should also be noted that we are coming from the last major we were at was Augusta, where you can't have your phones at all, no matter who you are.
True.
So now it's like we get to have our phones all the time because everybody does, and we also get to have a home base that's right on the course.
So we recorded, you know, we took a couple pics, like, wow, we're in the media center. It's great. Let's go check out the course. Buzz out to the course. It's like 71 degrees, sunny, windy, and no one's on the golf course except for like the maintenance team at this point. And so we're like, let's just go walk around. We've got the credentials. So we start realizing that we start walking back towards like the fourth, fifth holes and stuff like that. No one's out there except for the maintenance crew and us. And we've got this credential thing. So we're kind of like testing the limits, like, hey, Trent, go put like a couple feet in the rough.
You were essentially small children who like don't know anything, and we're just testing the limits with our parents, which is the USGA.
Next thing you know, we're just like on the tee boxes. We're just standing on the tee boxes, and no one's around. We're like, holy shit, we're taking pictures. We're like jumping up and down, like, look how firm this is. Let's test it. Did we leave footprints? Did we not leave footprints? I hid in the rough at one point to see if people could fucking see me. They couldn't see me.
When we did the you laying in the rough, I was like, we can do whatever we want.
Yes.
Cause you were just on the golf course laying down inside the ropes, and we were making a video of you jumping out of the rough.
Absolutely. I mean, I was legitimately like, I almost rolled into the bunker. Because that's how on the golf course
I was. There could now be someone that flies one into the rough and just hits your little flat part that you may have flattened out the fescue in one little spot. The rough's
twice as long by now, Frankie. Wait till you see this shit.
I know, it does look magical.
Someone's going to lose like
magic rough.
Yeah, right. Someone's going to lose a small child in the rough this week.
For sure.
Like, oh, Timmy just ran like under the rope real quick. Gone in the rough.
The pictures and videos I've seen of the rough have been laugh out loud funny. I don't care how many people are there, because obviously we always talk about how pros have it better because they have all these people watching their balls. And you essentially have 10,000 four caddies every single time you hit a golf ball. Yep. Like, I just played this weekend and I lost like 1,000 balls in just fescue, where you're just like, well, if I had like fucking caddies and shit, I'd never lose this ball. I know where it is. It's just a little high rough. These people with that type of rough, I don't care how many people are watching it. A ball can drop right in front of your eyes, and I think it just disappears right in front of your eyes.
There's some stuff. There's some spots, too, that are not far from fairways. I'm talking, like, within 2 or 3 feet of the fairways sometimes.
That's not fair.
Stuff that is gone. That ball is gone. No one will ever find it. It could be. You could know it's within a 3-foot radius. Gone.
It's like thigh high it. And just
thick. And the biggest thing is, even if you find it, you cannot put a club through it.
You're fucked. Yo, so we're obviously going to get into more of the details of this, but when I was inside the ropes with Kisner today.
No big deal.
He, on the fourth hole, he's in the middle of fairway. Hit. It's windy as shit, like a crosswind. He tries to like hit this like draw up against the wind and just hooks it left into the fescue. And as it's in the air going towards the fescue, he just goes, oh, that's in the rough, double, out of the tournament. That's just what it is. It was amazing.
And ball takes one 2-inch turn to the left. Yep. It's like, I might as well go home.
All right, pack up my shit. I'm going
exactly
home.
Exactly what he says. He goes, oh, that's in the rough. Double. Out of the tournament. Just like, U.S. Open's over. It was incredible. But you're right. The rough. And it's the golf course, after having seen it, we've been up close and personal with it, which we're going to get into a lot more of those details. But it is very fair. The fairways are wide. You remember that from when you were out here 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
The fairways, you know, for like, they're significantly wider than Bethpage's fairways are, even for the average golfer right now.
Right. Professional golfers should be able to hit the fairways, but if they don't and they hit a bad shot, this course will not allow you to have any sort of second chance.
There's essentially no, there's like basically no middle ground between fairway. It's almost like fairway water hazard.
Right.
Because like the rough, it just is there. It's fairway, definitely fescue-y, roughy shit that's like your ball might never be found.
It's essentially like playing on an arcade golf course that someone would draw up where it's just fairway and then just cliffs on
it's like,
either side.
It's yep. like it's so like Rainbow going, Road in Mario Kart.
Exactly. That's exactly what
it's
I was
Rainbow
picturing.
Road.
It's Rainbow Road.
It's Rainbow
a,
Road.
A great call.
It's Rainbow Road. There's a couple patchy spots that are better than others, like the 10th hole, for example. Is a, you know, it plays relatively short par 4 where guys are going to be hitting irons and like wedges or short irons into the green off a lot of tees. But if you choose a 3-wood or maybe even too long of an iron and try to bite off too much, catch this little downhill speed slot, and your ball misses 2 feet right of the fairway. It is the like most gnarly, deathly, fescue-y rough I've ever seen in my life. And it's literally 2 feet off the fairway.
And it's been windy, too.
This is, I mean, and this, I cannot wait to see it because I've always prided Bethpage as being, you know, the craziest rough in U.S. Open history. New Yorkers love saying that. And I think Shinnecock, like, doubled down on this from what I'm hearing. And I cannot wait to have, like, I love that New York has this thing with rough. Like, New York golf courses love to just, like, we always talk about carnage. Like, we are looking for carnage at the U.S. Open.
Wingfoot, yeah. Bethpage, now Shinnecock.
They love the fucking rough.
God, they love it. But yeah, the course, the fairways are incredibly firm. We got a little bit of rain today. I think they said 0.08 inches.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. They announced
Trent was all over that
in one. The media center. It was like, when somebody commits an error, they also do that at media places. They like announce it to everybody and they made sure to tell everybody 0.08 inches.
What was the voice like? Did it sound like it was like a very like a statistician was saying it, or did it sound like a godly figure was saying it?
No, it was kind of a normal like statistician.
Yeah. Statistician is, yeah.
Statistician.
What did I say? Statistician?
He's statistician. A statistician.
Statistician?
Statistician.
It was one of those guys. It sounded like one of those guys.
But it was the only announcement they made all day for the most part, except when the press conferences were happening.
They would be like...
Did you see anyone like write that information down when he said it? Did you look around and see someone like pull out a notepad? Really?
Definitely.
They heard 0.08 rain and someone like scurried to a pen and paper and was like, yes. Fuck.
There's some guys doing too, like local, or not local, like live radio right next to where our little station is. And I heard that guy like a minute and a half later... Like, all right, we're back from the break, and we just heard the rain report.
It was great.
There's also this old guy next to the BBC is next to us, and this old guy, I've been talking to him all day, and we just chop it up about media stuff, and tomorrow when I see him, I'm going to be like, oh, back at the old salt mines, and we're just going to, we have this great connection. It's like two media guys just talking it up next to each other. It's fun.
Trent and this guy have been hitting each other with the classic... Like media veteran that have been sitting next to each other for decades type jargon back and forth.
I love it.
Oh, the guy was like hitting Trent with a couple of like the big rumors from the day.
Yep.
You know?
I'm telling you, Barstool Sports is different in a lot of ways. And people, you just walk into a place like this and it's all of the cliches and shit that you hear about media people. And then there it is. It's just right in front of you. It's so strange.
It's amazing. Like the schmoozing and like the BS that goes on.
Do we stick out like sore thumbs in there?
We feel like we do, but it's, you know, it's kind of like, it feels like when you would get, have you ever been like really high at a house party and you think everyone else thinks that look really high, but you're really like, you just probably look fine.
Right.
I think of it as the scene in like a high school movie where you see the cool guy for the first time and he's walking through the hallway and it's in slow motion and everybody's turned their heads like, this is how I think was going on. But everyone else, they're probably not paying attention to us at all. But I think we are like, in my head, we're the cool media company that's like coming in through the doors.
Yeah. I think it's somewhere in between those two. Yeah, for sure.
Being high,
we're
high
making
school.
The biggest splash. I mean, when they see like a setup for the radio and shit.
Well, that's another thing.
When you guys just said like people are like squeezed up in the media center and they're sitting there doing like we're like on the golf course like overlooking.
That's the thing is they haven't seen that yet.
Right.
All they
we're gonna be making waves.
All
though.
It looks like to them thus far is that we have one chair in the media center. For three guys, we're all huddled around this one fucking chair. We look like just all the other schmucks in the room. When they catch wind of this fucking
and what
that
you guys
we're
did today.
Suspended over the 11th green that we're out there rolling.
You know what happened to me today that I actually didn't even tell you about? When we later in the day, you went out for a little bit and I stayed in to blog, and then I eventually went out and walked the course a little bit too, and I got back to my computer and there was a phone plugged into my laptop that was not there and was not my phone. And I didn't do anything about it because I didn't know. The place was basically empty. There were a couple people sitting around. And I was like, what is going on with this? And 20 minutes later, a local news guy from two rows up came and was like, oh, I plugged my phone into your laptop. I couldn't find a charger anywhere else. He's like, oh, Barstool Sports. I didn't know you guys were here. You guys have buried me a couple times. I'm a local guy. And I was like, all right, man. Yeah, you're welcome for like using my laptop.
You guys have buried me?
I don't know if he said buried. He said something about being a local guy and like Barstool Sports doing something to like locally. And then he was like, all right, well,
a comfortable media guy move that is, to plug your phone into someone else's.
It was strange.
Laptop.
Walking up to your laptop, you had to have thought that all of your information was slowly being transported onto his phone.
Sucked onto
his
phone.
I was more afraid that I was going to open my laptop and all his weird shit was going to go onto my laptop. I was going to see weird pictures.
Some weird ass local newsman's photos is definitely some like scary shit.
It was strange. And I mean, there's plugins everywhere.
There's plugins everywhere. To me, the media center sounds as though when you walk in, you just get charged up. Like just
pretty
from
much
being within all of those charging stations, that it all connects to your phone wirelessly.
Yeah. The vibe charges all of your stuff, basically.
Right. It's like,
so the fact this guy couldn't find a charge is like, have you ever been in a media center before, dude? Like, what are you doing?
He's a local guy for a reason.
Yeah, that guy will never branch out. Be like not a local
He was guy. Nice, though, after we figured out what was going on.
Oh, that's great. Sounds like he was a nice guy. So anyways, we had a great first day. Twilight, soaked in the twilight, kind of the golden hour at Shinnecock. We were some of the only people on the course. It was very lovely. We went back this morning very early. Roll in. This time, you know, we're all souped up. We got bag tags. We got our credentials ready to rock. Right when we enter the property, I get a text from Kisner that's like, are you on property? I was like, yeah, I just rolled in. He's like, do you want my inside the ropes pass for the day? It's like, yes, I absolutely do. I don't even know what that really meant. But right. I was like, yeah, I need that. That's perfect.
I will say we woke up early originally to see Tiger Woods play his practice round, and then he pulled the old last minute, I'm going to wait and see what the weather does.
Yeah. So you were supposed to tee off at 7:18.
Yeah.
So let the record state, we were there for the 7:18 tee time.
Yep.
And then turns out nobody teed off till like 8:30. So we were just there.
Did Tiger end up playing?
Nope.
But he did go to the range. And he was alone on the range, and he balls in the rain.
Oh, my God.
If you see the picture, he's by himself out there. I mean, he's got his coach with him, but like he's the only player out there.
It's awesome. It is a Tiger's going to win by a million picture if I've ever seen one.
Holy shit.
It's just, I saw an angle, too, that the golf, the USGA Instagram story put up from like right behind him, and they got like, they got a view kind of through the umbrella of one of his swing coaches, and you can see like raindrops falling off the umbrella, and he's like hitting through them. It's wild.
He's looking at it.
Oh,
I mean, the fog and the rain is coming down so hard that you can't see beyond him. He's just hitting into the mist.
It's mythical.
By himself. I mean, there's all these names that are like of people that were supposed to be on the driving range.
Didn't show up.
You know what that looks like? It looks like a fucking cemetery.
It does look like a cemetery. It's a bunch of cowards and all of their empty fucking stations, and Tiger's out there just stinging two irons.
The biggest savage of all time.
Can we just talk about that? We are in the same area right now as Tiger Woods. When I was driving through Southampton, just realizing, like, I just had this feeling of like,
you felt the force.
I did feel the force. And I know he's not even in this area. He's like 45 minutes away. He's staying in his dinghy.
Yeah, no, you're when Luke shows up to the same like city that Darth's in, and they're like, oh shit, I feel each other. That's what you felt. That Tiger, he's just around.
I felt that way too when we went to Augusta. Anytime I know that I'm near Tiger, I'm always like, is he in that house? And this time it's different because he's on his yacht, but
his dinghy.
It is strange to be even in the same area.
I said to myself, do you think he drove on this road when I was just driving up one of the main roads?
That's what you thought about on the
way in?
I've told this story before. I'm going to tell it really quickly again. But the first time I ever saw Tiger in person was at the 2007 PGA.
Yep.
When my brother and I drove down to Tulsa, Oklahoma, at Southern Hills. And we got there Sunday. We got there at like 8 a.m. Tiger didn't show up till like 12:30. And we got there at like 11:45. We moved over towards the driving range area. We were like, I don't know where he's going to come from, but it feels like he's probably going to come out of this area. And when he came walking from his fucking car in the parking lot, from the parking lot to the putting green, dressed in all black or red and all black with a two-stroke lead in a major championship on Sunday, he came marching through. There were probably 20,000 people in that practice area. Nobody made a fucking sound. He walked through exactly like when Darth Vader or when the Emperor arrives and meets like Darth Vader at the Death Star and walks through. And everyone's just like down on one knee, like worshiping him. That's exactly what it was like. He walked right by us, and my brother and I were just like, don't move. Don't say anything.
I think in a month, I should try to tell that story because I've heard it so many times. You should see if I can tell it.
It's that good, and it's that good of a feeling. Tiger is around. He's just generally around. It feels great. We're going to see him tomorrow. So when people are listening to this, we will be seeing Tiger in person. But love that he was on the range. I don't think, did we talk about his whole calling his boat the dinghy thing?
I don't think we talked about it on the podcast, no. But we, you and I, Frankie, when it first happened, it was, he said it in the press conference, got a couple laughs, and he said it four more times during the press conference.
Yeah, someone mentioned, like, you know, one of the reporters just had, it was the elephant in the room for sure. I mean, everyone in the media was, like, loving the fact that he, I mean, even us, we loved the fact that he was just slowly bringing this boat into Sag Harbor instead of just, like, coming here. Like,
it became a big story.
It did.
It was everywhere. And it was no on, like, had, Business Insider was, like, it was blogging huge. About Tiger's yacht.
Yeah. It's one of those stories that if you're not a golf or a sports outlet, it's easily accessible enough where it's like, it's Tiger Woods, he's staying on a yacht as opposed to a hotel, all right, let's run with it. So that's one of those stories that's going to blow up.
And no one had asked him for the first like 10 minutes of the press conference, and finally someone's like, what about the fucking yacht? Like we got to know about privacy.
How have we not talked about the yacht?
And he's like, and he just like looked down and he like just scratched his face. He's like, yeah, you know, it's just, you know, my dinghy's here. And I was like, what the fuck is a dinghy? Honestly, I did not know what a dinghy was. I don't know if that means that I'm just like an uncultured fuck or if I'm like, I'm not rich enough to know what a dinghy is.
I knew what it was, and I'm definitely not rich.
And I live on Long Island, and I have, like, boats all around me.
So what he said was, staying on the dinghy helps.
Right.
Because the question was, the fucking person, the genius, whoever asked this question, but this was genius, tied it into traffic, all the traffic that people have been talking about.
Right.
Somehow, like, tied the traffic narrative into, like, oh, is it going to be a big benefit that you get to stay on your yacht out in Sag Harbor instead of the traffic? And his answer was, staying on the dinghy helps.
When you when you say he looked down and was scratching his beard a little bit, I see in his head all the man hours that he put in writing that joke.
Yeah,
preparing for that exact question to come up.
Like you alluded to, he got like one or two chuckles. They're like, oh, and he fucking ran with it. He must have said the word dinghy four or five more times, just, you know, sprinkled throughout the rest of the interview. So, yeah, we thought, I mean, I came over to Trent in the office and I was like, hey, man, Tiger's press conference was legendary. And he kept saying dinghy and I was laughing. And I'm going to be honest, like, I have no idea what dinghy is. And I looked it up and it's like, it just means a very small, little, quaint boat. And
when you Google dinghy, the pictures that pop up of this thing, I mean, it's just,
they have a water raft.
They look like, up. Yeah, like the boats on the Titanic that they used to save people.
Yeah, right. But like smaller, but way smaller.
Something that you just like
those ones you can put roll like up dozens of people in. This is like
we could blow that up with
our father son thing.
Yes,
right. If you had like an above ground pool, you could like tool around in a dinghy
for sure. And he's saying, I mean, his this is a yacht we're talking about, and he's calling it a dinghy. It's the ultimate power move of all time.
It's a yacht that takes like 10 people to operate it.
Yeah,
called it a dinghy. Amazing. So great stuff, Tiger. Obviously hitting balls in the rain. Very mythical. Very awesome. Reminder that Supreme Golf is awesome.
Yes,
it is. You're dumb if you don't use it. SupremeGolf.com/barstool. They have the best discounts. They have every tee time you've ever heard of. They are awesome. They love us. We love them. And you're dumb if you don't use them. They're the largest tee time database. Also, a little feature you might not know of, but they allow you to set the price that you want for tee times. Quick example, let's say the course that you play costs $50 a round on average. On Supreme Golf's website or app, you find the course you want to play. Click add price alert, which is the blue dollar sign. See how or select how much you would like to play for, how much you would like to pay. And if the course ever offers a tee time at that price, they will email you right away so that, boom, you can just book the first tee time. It's awesome stuff. SupremeGolf.com/barstool. Go to the app store. Download Supreme Golf. They are the best. So Kevin Kisner texts me this morning, right when we arrive, literally the second we're walking in. Do you want this pass? Yes. I'm like, okay. He's like, I'm on the range. Tee off in a half hour. Come meet me up at the range. It's like, no big deal. So I roll up to the range, and there's like, our credentials get us past the normal level of the range, but then there's like a second gate that says players, coaches, players, coaches, and caddies only past this point. So you're like really close, but you're not quite there. So I'm standing here. I'm like the only person at this spot. Kiz sees me, starts walking towards me, and then a ball bounces, one hops in front of me and hits me in the shin from like my left. And I look over and it was Kevin Chappell, who's playing with Kiz and staying in a house this week with Kiz. And he was like, suck it, Riggs, or something like that.
Huh.
I looked over. I was like, you were able to just do that? I mean, this was like a 30-yard chip.
That he chipped it.
Yeah, he chipped the ball, the golf ball, over someone else. One hopped, hit me in the shin as Kiz was approaching me. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? He's like, yeah, we're all playing together. We're having a good time today. I was like, okay.
My shin hurts.
Like, why'd he hit me in the shin? Gives me this little, this thing that I mentioned earlier that like glows. It's like that fire engine type yellow.
Yep.
That just glows from anywhere on the golf course. And it just says, inside the ropes, player like 131 pass. And it goes around your arm like your, it gets kind of like one of the blood pressure things.
Yeah. And runners use it a lot to put their phones in there. That's what I'm
Yeah, picturing. The band, like the armband type thing. Yeah. Goes around your arm like that. So I'm walking around like I'm in a like I'm a fucking sprinter or something.
Yeah.
But anyways, roll over to the first tee, and I told Trent this afterwards. I was like, I didn't really know what inside the ropes meant. I was like, I'm kind of like a little bit inside the ropes, but like get the fuck out of the way or what is it? So I'm like kind of in the corner on the first tee, and then Kiz is like, all right, we got everybody over. Where the fuck is Riggs? He's like, looks back. He's like, Riggs, get over here. So we're just like 2 feet away from each other as they're teeing off. These guys, I mean, they're like talking each other's backswing, like legit. Like Kevin Chappell's like over the ball, about to pull the club back, and Kiz is standing 6 inches away from his ball, and then looking at me, and he's like, "Now, Riggs, you got Chappie's like working on this weird ass shit. Watch it!" Like as he's pulling the club back, and then he's hitting. So they're just like chirping each other. They're telling stories. We're like walking down the first fairway. I'm like, "What the hell is going on right now?" A couple holes in, I asked Kiz, I'm like, "Hey, can I get like a couple golf balls to, like fuck around with?" So I wanted like roll balls on the green and like throw them in the rough and like, I don't know, just like do shit on the golf course. He's like, oh, hell yeah. He hands me 2 golf balls and his pitching wedge. He's like, I don't ever have to use my pitching wedge out here. So here you go. Just take my pitching wedge. So I got like Kiz's pitching wedge.
Unreal.
And two golf balls. And I'm just like walking, hanging around the sides of the greens, like kind of chipping a little bit. I hit a couple like chips that like didn't make it up a slope and rolled back to my feet. So then I was like super embarrassed. So I like didn't chip that much.
Uh-oh. Butter knife central off that Shinnecock.
Big time. Big time.
Can you imagine if I went in there inside the ropes and Kiz is like, hey, Frankie, here's my 56. Why don't you go fuck around with it for a second? And I just pull that weapon out?
No. You'd be...
I'd be taking people out left and right. I mean, that could be the way that Tiger Woods wins this goddamn U.S. Open.
There'd be an ambulance at the tournament. Fouling Frank.
You let me out there with a 56 and I'll fucking take people out, man.
Just, eliminating competition.
Just pegging people.
Eliminating competition.
What a fucking world that you're like, you're holding a golf club during a practice round at the U.S. Open, just like chipping around.
It was outrageous. Like it just came out of nowhere.
Was that the most like what the fuck has happened to my life moment for
yes.
you?
Yes. Yeah, that was bigger than any other thing. Walking 9 holes with these guys. So it was Kevin Chappell, Kevin Kisner, and Luke List.
Mm-hmm.
They're like 3 good buddies. They play a bunch of practice rounds together and all that. Their chatter, like their stories, they're just like shooting the shit on the greens. The way that they do the practice rounds, like everybody's approach, how different it is. Kevin Chappell has a guy over the last like 6 months that he hired who's a very deep like statistician.
Yep.
Statistician type guy. He takes kind of like a money ball approach to golf. And he's got like a handful of clients now in the PGA Tour, and Kevin Chappell's one of them. And he, you know, he gives him like when the pin position is in this location on this green, if you miss to the right of it, there's like a 77.1% chance that you'll make a par.
This is some Bryson DeChambeau
shit. If you miss to the left, right, this guy takes like a crazy statistical approach to the game, and Kevin Chappell hired him to help him out and all that. And Kiz is the exact opposite. So Kiz was chirping the shit out of this guy like the whole time. And every time, like the first hole, Kevin Chappell like misses short, right? Like kind of hits just like a shitty approach into the green. And then Kiz is like, oh, where were the stats on that one, boy? Like, just chirping him the whole time.
Hearing these stories about Kevin Kisner makes me actually respect the fact that he's a number 30 ranked golfer in the world even more.
Because, in the world.
He brought fucking rigs out for the practice round today.
We've talked about this a lot, but I'm deep inside this goddamn Tiger Woods book that I've been reading. And I mean like... the approach that this man, Tiger Woods, had to practice rounds, practice, you know, the way he plays the game of golf, like you couldn't even look at him when he was playing the game of golf. And the fact that Kiz is like bringing you on the golf course, chirping like Dave Portnoy on Twitter. He's got the goddamn U.S. Open tomorrow. Like the U.S. Open.
Tomorrow morning, dude.
He's facing the guy we're talking about who is Darth Vader. He like wants to murder people. And Kisner's like literally tweeting.
Kisner's like, from the golf course. Dave Portnoy make par on 9? I don't get it.
We were on the radio for Barca Radio Live when that happened. Dave was doing his electric live tweeting at Kevin Kisner saying like, I'm going to get in this guy's head. And he like answered right away. We're like, isn't he golfing right now? And like, there was a moment where we said, he has a huge tournament tomorrow.
Huge.
And I mean, the fact that he can still figure out a way to like, I don't know how he does it. I mean, you must know more than me, but is there just something that just snaps
in him? Well, the other thing that I realize is, so Kiz, right? I mean, he's from Aiken, South Carolina. Like, his crew, right? They are like corn boys from, like, right. You know. Like, Aiken, South Carolina is, these guys are fucking hillbillies, and right. They know it, and they love it.
Right.
And, like, so he's just got that demeanor and that like mentality about everything. Like he never gets upset. Like I said, that story where he fucking hooked one on 4,
amazing,
into the fescue, and all he said as the ball is literally turning right to left in the air, he just goes, "Oh, rough, double, out of the tournament." Like he's just laughing about it. That's just his approach. The other thing I've realized is like when he texts me about my swing and stuff and playing like literally being in a practice round with him at the U.S. Open, how fucking much he knows about golf. Is crazy, right? Because I just thought this, like, saw Kiz as this bro and like this cool fun guy, and he went to Rough and Rowdy and he like drank all day and people were like giving him shit for it, like, what is this guy, is he just some like savant natural talent? Dude, he knows so much about golf and the golf swing, and was telling me about like how he had his guy had changed his setup yesterday and how he feels, he's like, I have never felt more uncomfortable over a golf ball in my life. But he told me to do this, and I'm just striping it today, so I do it. And then he's telling me like about the tweak. And then as I've got the pitching wedge, he's like remembering and pulling up screenshots of my swing and being like, all right, Riggs, you need to, here, look, bring it out like this. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I keep hitting it thin when I do that. And he's like, this is exactly why, you dumbass. Like, look at it. And he's just like, he knows so much about the golf swing and the game of golf and like his mental approach and all that, that I was stunned to see it, but then you also realize, well, he's got to be number 30 in the world for a reason. Right. And last year, he was up to like 19 or 20 or 22 or something like that. President's Cup, like winning tons of money every weekend. So like it's just a different approach, but it does seem weird, right? Like
it almost goes against everything that, you know, a golfer from the outside looking in would think. Like golf's like you would always say, golf is more mental sometimes than it is physical. You have to be, especially in a, you know, U.S. Open type atmosphere where you have to perform for 4 straight days against the best golfers in the world. You got to be fucking locked in. Like if someone wants to make a joke, you should be like, what the fuck are you joking about, man? I'm playing the biggest goddamn golf match of my entire life, but this guy's out here teaching you how to golf.
There is something to be said though for being like,
he's
relaxed.
Legit. We're like, he's stopping in the middle of the fairway. Like, a couple guys tweeted at me, were like, I just watched Kevin Kisner give Riggs swing tips for 2 minutes in the middle of the fairway on, like, number 5 at the U.S. Open. I was like, yeah, that's what happened.
It's
he
crazy,
stopped, like,
man.
Holding up the group. Was like, no, Riggs, open the club face. Like, he's, like, getting pissed at me. But, like, he just, like, he fucking loves it. And he's just so, you're right, he's, like, so relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not for everybody, right? Like, everybody's got their different approach. He was saying that they had played with Patrick Cantlay the day before. And we were talking about Cantlay, and I was like, does he play as slow with you guys as he does when in a tour? And he goes, no, we don't let him. And we were like shooting the shit, and he's like, no, Cantlay is like an awesome dude. He's like, but he's a bit of a brainiac, so he has a totally different approach. So, like, you know, you got to kind of let him do his thing and all that. But he just has a totally different approach. Like, that stuff doesn't bother him. I think it almost, like, relaxes him. It almost gets him kind of a comfortable mindset of, like, I'm not taking this too seriously. You know, I'm fucking around with Riggs and these idiots on the, you know, on the range and then on the course. And they also, like, you realize, like, what they're getting out of their practice rounds is different for every person. I mean, they post up on every green. They put tees in where they think all the pin locations are going to be. And then even, like, a couple of their caddies were, like, disagreeing on where they think one of the pins was going to be. And one of the guys was like, no, this is where it was in 2004. Another guy was like, that part of the green didn't exist in 2004 because they like completely redid it. And then kids would putt to it and the ball would like roll off the green and be like, they better not put a pin there. And like, that's just how they're doing their practice sessions and everybody does it.
How much time do they get per hole? Is it?
It's, I noticed that it kind of just goes with the flow of things, and the group that's on the green pretty much leaves the green either when they're ready or when the group behind them is ready to hit their approaches in.
Okay.
It's kind of like a respect thing, although they did tell me a couple tidbits about Phil that I think it was yesterday that Phil was grinding, playing by himself and grinding so hard around the greens and the chipping and all that, that he was letting twosomes play through him on almost every hole.
Wow.
He was spending like 20 or 30 minutes around every green, just chipping to everywhere, nonstop. The other tidbit I heard about Phil, we got a couple sources that are operating the driving range,
yep,
which is a whole operation. I talked to them about it while I was waiting for kids to tee off this morning for like a half hour. The driving range operation, there's 11 different types of golf balls, and they all hit them out into the range, and then they have two shaggers driving around, driving range, cart guy. What the fuck do they call those guys? Can't think of the name. Driving around, picking up balls at the same time. They all go into the dispensary, come out. They got to like sort them and all that. But this source was telling me that the Callaway guys, they sent balls that are like the soccer balls, you know, how Callaway does that?
Yep.
With like the soccer ball printing. And they look bigger to the eye,
yep,
when you're over them. But the ones the guys are actually using in the tournament aren't soccer ball ones. So the ones they're supposed to be using on the range are. And he said that this morning Phil was like, fuck that. And Phil hit Pro V1s because he was like, I'm not hitting those soccer balls.
That's so good.
It was, yeah, great little tidbit about Phil. But everybody kind of moves along like at their own pace. It was funny because like the first couple holes I was like nervous as shit just standing off to the side.
Oh, yeah.
And then by like the fourth green or something, like Kevin Chappell literally had to yell at me from the greenside bunker. He's like, Riggs, get out of the fucking way. And I looked down and I was like standing in the middle of the green, like Instagramming something. And he's like, I'm trying to hit for chips.
That's amazing.
I was like, I'm sorry, Jeremy. But it was unreal. It was awesome just like seeing the whole thing, trying to act cool. They were like, are you bored yet by the seventh hole or something? I was like, dude, this is the coolest thing I've ever done.
Right.
Like, ever done. And then like when we came up nine, obviously I did the whole Periscope Live and all that. So yep, people kind of got to see what it was like. I mean, that honestly, that look in of like Kisner chirping, his interactions with his caddy dropping like hilarious one-liners and stuff. That was what we did for like 2.5 hours. So it was awesome. It was incredibly cool. Coming up the ninth with the crowd, right? Because like there's really nobody following in the morning. There are a couple stoolies, like a couple guys gave Kiz like the go dogs thing because he's obviously Georgia Bulldog. But then once we got to the ninth where you're like right by the clubhouse and all that, there's like a massive crowd. And we're like, I'm like rolling up in the middle. People are like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
And other guys, like, you know, the other two guys, Luke List and Kevin Chapp, like, they have their own teams. So, like, a couple there, like, somebody's swing coach or the statistician guy or whatever would come rolling over. They'd be like, oh, who are you? What do you do for Kevin? I'd be like,
he gives me golf tips.
Yeah, because he's my swing coach. So it was incredibly cool. Obviously, it was very awesome. People can go check out that, the Periscope Live. I put it on the blog, and it's on Barstool Sports' main account. But yeah, the course, I mean, the greens were firm as shit. They're very firm, on several holes. The guys, I mean, on greens that are downwind, especially where they're hitting longer irons in, like on number two, for example, the 255 yard par,
yep,
three, like there's a cross bunker, like that's 221, I think his caddy said, that they have to fly. And that's pretty much all they're trying to carry it. Like you carry it over that bunker. So make sure you cover like 225, Kiz, is what he's saying. And that's what Kiz did on two. And then it rolls up 15 yards of, you know, fringe. And there was a back left pin. And Kiz today barely flew that bunker 15 yards short of the green. And he had like 20 feet for birdie.
Jeez.
So it's like they're firm as shit, especially when they're downwind. And they had the prevailing wind today. They're not very fast. The greens are like pretty noticeably slow. And I think they almost have to be because Shinnecock greens are so undulating and all of that.
Yeah.
They're obviously like pure, they're true, they're firm as shit and all that, but they're not overly fast. I'm sure they'll get faster as the week goes on. The rough's outrageous, as we already talked about. The weather, I mean, it was windy as shit today. It was windy as shit yesterday.
Yep.
And it's supposed to be windy all weekend.
That's going to be great.
Which is awesome. I think I saw they said that may get to points of gusting around 30 miles an hour.
Holy shit.
I saw
a shit show out there.
Mike Davis said he doesn't think it's outside the realm of possibility that they will have to suspend play at some point. Not for rain at all, but for it's too windy. The balls aren't staying on the greens.
Wow. How does that affect like a viewer of where you guys, like, does it get chilly because it's so freaking windy?
Yeah, it's like it's like a brisk, you know, like we're
like,
kind
is it
of
like quarter zip season at the US Open.
It'll
this
be
weekend?
It's gonna be quarter zip season all weekend.
I was wearing pants and one of our quarter zips and I was like chilly.
Yep.
So I'm wearing quarter zips tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cuz it's
gonna it's going to be hotter tomorrow, I think, but you know, today was a little rainy and cloudy and all that.
Yeah.
So it'll be warmer than it was today. But even like Tuesday night, it was beautiful out there and it was a little chilly.
Yeah.
Wow. And we're out there, like, I mean, we have a radio show from 4 to 7. Yeah, it's going to be.
Right. Like, we're going to be out there. I mean,
30 mile an hour winds. All right. So for us, whatever, we're watching it, we're there. But these fucking players, man, playing in 30 mile an hour winds with this rough that we're talking about.
30
mile
an hour.
You can't practice something like that.
30 mile an hour winds is intense. And like with these greens, like, and the other thing about the routing of the golf course is that every hole goes in a different direction. So the wind, it's not like you go out, you play into the wind, you come back, you play downwind. It's like, it's a crosswind, then you're into the wind, then you're
downwind.
We
noticed that
it's
when
crazy.
Dave was playing.
Yes.
It seemed as though every single hole, the somehow, some way, no matter what way we turned, the wind was blowing in his face.
Yeah.
We were like, how is that possible? And the guys were just like, you know, it's just like a wind tunnel in here. It just
it is, and it's just, you're constantly like spinning in a fucking circle and going different directions because of the routing and all that. So the wind is very difficult to pick up on, like, and you get the firmness of those greens and the fairways. Like, it's hard to hold the fairways when if the fairway slopes left to right and it's blowing, gusting 30 miles an hour left to right, and the fairway's firm as shit, you're like, there's no way my ball doesn't end up in that right rough.
How do pros practice shots like that? How do you prepare for a really windy?
Move to Texas? I don't
know. Like, you just have to, I mean, you just always you just have to practice in those conditions, right? I mean, there's no way of like simulating. Like, they don't like, when they're on the range, do they practice like hitting it just a little bit more right? Because like, and pretending on a day that.
You know, the preparation, I think, for that is incredibly difficult. And that's why it gives certain guys like a big advantage. Like Tom Watson. In 2009 at Turnberry, when he almost won at age 59, I've watched this documentary a couple times, and the one thing that always sticks out to me is he said, the reason I knew I had a chance is because during the practice rounds, the wind was never like a certain way, and he knew the wind was going to play that way at least one day because of the forecast, and he had seen that wind because he's won there like a couple times before or whatever,
right.
And he was like, I know that's going to give me a huge edge on the field because other people haven't played that wind. So I think like there's minimal opportunity to prepare for something like that.
Yeah.
One thing that I really like is they were saying that we're going to have different winds, I think, tomorrow. So when people are listening to this, Thursday and Friday, and then it's going to be the prevailing wind is going to return over the weekend. So they're going to get a couple different winds too, which is going to be tricking everybody out. So I think, I mean, my guess is that it's going to be around par, maybe a little over that wins it. Just because I think the wins, I think that the punishment if you miss fairways and how easy they're going to be to miss despite the fact that they're wide. And I think getting up and down is just unbelievably difficult around the greens. There's runoffs fucking everywhere. I had forgotten from 3 weeks ago how severe the runoffs are. I mean, you miss like by, you know, you go 3 feet too far on a certain pin location and you have like the most ridiculous chip shot I've ever seen.
You know why we couldn't tell last time is because every time Dave hit a runoff, we didn't even pay attention because he just hit another
didn't
shot.
Didn't even pay attention.
He just hit another shot.
Right, right.
The only time I pay attention is when it like perfectly stuck on the green and we're just like, all right, that's the one. Like, I honestly didn't see anything hard about the golf course because...
Exactly. He made it look so easy.
He shot 66.
Right? Sure did. And he stinks at golf and he shot 66.
But whatever. Like, it's going to be funny to watch professional golfers just get dominated by this golf course because... we're actually going to see shots that, you know, they have to stick with. Like, you hit the front of the green, that's all you got. I mean, you guys were just showing me, like, videos of just balls running, what, like 30, 40, 50 yards?
We had, this evening, now we're, Wednesday evening, we went out there again, and we found a golf ball in the fescue, because there's so much, I mean, there's so much fescue and rough that, like, people...
Imagine you found Dave's.
Lose golf balls. Could be a Dave ball, who knows?
He hit a couple of my Bridgestone Tiger balls, so if we find one of those when we're spectating, I want one of those, I want that back.
Okay. We'll give those
noted.
Back.
That's
noted. That's fair. To be honest with you, that's fair. That's very fair.
It's somewhere in that rough.
We found a Callaway ball, and because of the credentials that we have, and because shout out to us for having credentials, and because of the inside the ropes thing that Kiz got me, this evening around 7:30, we were just cruising around with a golf ball like walking around the fairways, rolling them down the fairways, seeing how far they would roll on the fairways, went up to the green and were like rolling them on certain spots on the green and seeing how far away they would roll. On 18, we were trying to get them to roll all the way from like the back of the green all the way off down into the fairway. They got close, but they didn't quite get all the way down there. But on 11, we rolled the ball from just off the front edge, and it went legit like 60 yards away.
Crazy.
Just like went around this bunker all the way down like into the rough. So, again, if you put your ball in the right spots, it's an incredibly fair test. I could see someone, you know, hitting a lot of fairways, playing well. The greens, you can make putts on the greens because they're not overly fast. And you know, and it, they wouldn't have to play like unbelievably well, but it's just the mistakes are going to be very, very magnified. Our good guy, Brandel Chambly, made some phenomenal points about the guys that have won here before. He said that Retief Goosen, when he won in 2004, led the PGA Tour in scrambling. And he said when Corey Pavin won in 1995, he only hit 35 greens the entire week, which is outrageous.
That's outrageous.
That's scrambled eggs.
Scrambled eggs. I mean, so if you're trying to pick folks, or if you're sitting there thinking even on Thursday, like, I need to fire some live bullets, I need to figure out who I think is going to win, you got to look at the guys that are best at getting it up and down. I'm looking at strokes gained around the green right now. We got our guy Jason Day's up there. Obviously, Patrick Reed's up there. Tiger's up there, number five on the PGA Tour this year. Hideki Matsuyama, who I feel like nobody's talking about.
People are sleeping on him.
Is up there. So scrambling is going to be huge, but the course looks good. Big shout out to Ricky Fowler, who was grilled about not winning a major. I think, what was the number? He's got like eight top fives.
Eight.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
I think he's got eight top fives at majors, hasn't won one. And one of his quotes from today was, quote, "We all know I'm going to win. I'm good. I'm sorry. We all know I'm good enough to win one."
That's a fair statement.
Yeah.
I don't think he's wrong, but it's just like, we all know, like, he just looped us all into that. Yeah.
I think, you know what it is? He's sick of getting that question. So he's like,
definitely,
he's trying to give them a message like, every time you guys ask me this, I say, I know I'm good enough. So now I'm going to loop all of you in here and say, we all know I'm good enough, so stop asking me this question.
I'm actually turning on that. I wish someone would have just been like, well, then why don't you fucking do it?
You should have seen
it. Do it then.
The quote doesn't do it justice. If you see the press conference, he says it like, we all know I'm good enough to win a major.
Like, I would have just right there, like the way you just said that, would have been like, do it.
We're probably going to have to include that audio. Eggs.
We have press passes. I mean, you could probably do it.
That makes me mad that he's saying that now. Originally, I was like, all right, yeah, that is a fair point. But, I mean, like you said, to loop everyone, I mean, don't tell me what you're supposed to do or that you can.
We all know I'm good enough to win one.
I don't.
He should have said, I know I'm good enough to win.
Correct.
One. Like, what do you mean we all? Like, what? No, we don't. Like, you haven't won one.
Yeah.
We literally we don't know if you are good enough to win because you haven't
yet. You might never win one, right? Yeah. Therefore, we would be like, we know you're not good enough to win one.
This is why we need media credentials. Yeah. We should have chopped it up with Ricky.
Shout out to Trent, who was in the Rory presser today.
I went to the Rory presser, and I was prepared to ask some sort of stupid question. I was actually going to ask him about Pusha T and Drake. Just because you go to these press conferences and it is exactly what you think it's going to be. People asking him about this and that. And I wanted to do something that was dumb and hopefully make him laugh. And I don't have any balls, so I chickened out.
What was the question going
to
be?
I was either going to ask him, is Drake ever going to respond to Pusha T, which would be very simple. Or
that would have been electric, just coming from the clouds. Like, we got one in the back, right, Mr. Trent?
Oh, I was close, too. I would have been right. I was like, pretty close to the front. And then I was going to ask him, Pusha T and Drake are both Adidas guys, and I was going to ask if their internal beef was going to take down Adidas and help Nike's brand overall.
Wow.
Which was more wordy, so I probably would have gone with the first one.
I have a question. What is the process like when being in a presser like that, and how do you get a question? Like, how do you get chosen to ask a question?
All you do is you get in there, you sit down, the guy comes in, Rory came in, he gives a couple opening statements, blah, blah, blah. He's happy to be at the U.S. Open.
Did he look as majestic as he did the day we saw him in the practice round?
Yes.
Cool.
He looked great.
He looked good. He was juggling in his cool house, too.
And then after he talks for 5 minutes or whatever, they open it up to questions, and they say, if you want to ask a question, raise your hand, and someone will bring you a microphone. And that's it.
So did you raise your hand?
No.
We're going to get there. It's a long weekend.
Okay.
We're in a position where we are very friendly with USGA right now.
Very.
And I'm not going to, I don't want to use that excuse. I just didn't have, I had no balls. I chickened out. But asking a Drake Push T question, I don't know if that's going to go over great.
Right. Especially the first day.
Yeah.
We're here for the, like you said, it's a long weekend.
Maybe ease yourself in with like a normal golf question. Maybe that's how you like dip your toes in.
Right. Although, you know, I think Barstool's all about just shooting from the hip.
Right.
You know,
I didn't shoot at all. You didn't shoot from anywhere.
Yeah, but I don't want to be. I'd rather be caught dead on the street than being like, "Hey, what do you think about these super wide fairways?"
Yeah, seriously. I mean, we're not here to ask those questions
for real.
We're here to find out what the fuck Rory thinks about Pusha T and Drake. That's unreal. That would have been electric.
No balls.
You know what? The best part, Frankie, is they give you. You'll see this. They have this. This whole like table of transcripts from all the press conferences, they literally like transcribe everything, like the question, the answer. So Trent, it would have been like Q. What do you think of? And then it would have been A, like whatever.
Like I would have cut that out and framed it.
There would have been moments where you guys were back at your charging stations and stuff, and inside the media, and you would have heard other media like just like whispering amongst each other, like, "Did you hear that fucking question?"
It would have been awesome.
100%. 100%.
And let's not put this one to bed yet, because like you said, there's still
plenty of chances.
Four opportunities.
You guys are giving me a lot of confidence. I will go to the next press conference. If it's a big name like Rory or something, I will ask about Drake and Pusha
T. You should ask Jason Day. He's a big Barstool guy. He'd probably, you know.
I would. I'd be like, "Hey, I'm Trent from Barstool Sports. I got a question."
Yeah.
We have a lot of opportunity here.
Tons. Wait till you see how much opportunity we have. This place, it's insane. It's like a whole new world.
If we wanted to come up with something like this, like we're talking right now, you know, ask someone a question, we have the ability to just do that.
Yeah, correct.
That's how insane this is. So now,
it takes a second for that to sink in.
It does.
That's true.
Yep.
All right. I think that's all I got. Shout out to Supreme Golf. Go to supremegolf.com/barstool. Go download their app. They are by far the best tee time booking app. They got everything you've ever heard of. They got a million discounts. It's awesome. They're the best. You're dumb if you don't use them. SupremeGolf.com/barstool. Go download their app, Supreme Golf. We are going to be doing radio 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday and Friday on Barstool Radio, Power 85. We're doing the rundown. All this is brought to you by Supreme Golf, so go help them out. Go help yourself out by using Supreme Golf. SupremeGolf.com/barstool. Download their app. The U.S. Open is going to be fucking awesome.
Do we have projections going in, predictions? I mean, I'm sorry.
I bet a lot of money on Tiger Woods this week. I did.
I really did. All right. So do you honestly think that Tiger Woods, like, who is your pick? I know you bet money, probably because number one, it's a value pick, and two, it's a heart pick. But who do you actually think going into tomorrow or today when you're listening to this, who is going to win the U.S. Open?
I mean, the scrambling talk makes me think Phil. It makes me want to pick Phil.
When you were talking about the scrambling, I literally envisioned Phil holding the U.S. Open trophy.
So I've said this before. I think if I really had to pick, I think Jason Day has a really good shot at winning. And I said this. I think this is going to be a blockbuster name winner. It's going to be like a top 10 guy in the world or a Tiger Phil. It won't be like a fringy guy. It'll be like a fucking mega superstar. I think he's gonna win this week.
That's got me amped up. What do you think, Trent?
I want to pick Phil. I want to pick Phil. I want him to finally get it, and then I agree. It's just this week has, maybe it's just because we're here and we have credentials and we're so involved in the tournament, but it just has a very big feel. And Shinnecock is awesome. We've been walking it for the last 2 days, and it can't have some like let down winner. It's going to be somebody big winning it. So I'm going to pick Phil.
If like Webb Simpson wins this week, like Shinnecock Hills might like burn the USGA to the ground.
Is Hideki Matsuyama a big enough name where you would be okay with winning?
Yes.
Because for some reason, I don't know if it's because during the Tiger Woods press conference that we watched where he's talked about his dinghy, someone asked him about Hideki Matsuyama, and he was like, Hideki Matsuyama is the type of player that when he is playing to his like fullest potential, like he just like wins, and he's like a dominant golfer.
Yeah, so what I love about the Japanese media is they do this all the time. They always like they all go to the Tiger presser or the Rory presser, and they just ask about Hideki Matsuyama.
Is that a thing?
It's awesome. No, they've been doing that forever. It's great. And they frame it all the time. They're like, "Tiger, we think..."
I mean, they make him sound unbelievable.
"Done such a great job with your recovery and your turnaround, and we're all really happy." And they like kind of like pepper Tiger up, and they're like, since you've probably been watching a lot of golf, like, what do you think about Hideki Matsuyama's take?
Exactly what they said.
It's absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. No, they do it all the time. It's great. It's one of my favorite things about the press conferences when the person like, starts speaking.
So, I mean, they've incepted my head. So, I mean, I think I have to go Hideki Matsuyama. If it's not him, I'm going all in Tiger.
Right.
All in Tiger.
All things considered, Hideki Matsuyama might be the second biggest golf star on the planet.
It's crazy.
Like in Japan, he is a rock star.
Yeah. That's how it was with Ichiro Suzuki when he played for the Mariners.
Right. He has like a whole pool, like a chunk of all of the golf pool of media in the United States is like this Japanese golf pool that they only cover Hideki Matsuyama.
That is insane. Yep.
It's like all
the he's doing Tiger like stuff in Japan.
Yeah.
He's dominating the entire market.
Huge.
That's crazy.
He's huge.
Yeah, and we really don't talk about him that often.
No.
Here.
Right, he doesn't speak English.
We're like, he does a delay at the top of his win.
There have been times where he's just dominated just golf courses.
Yes. I think it was last year where he won, like, he won a couple tournaments in a row. He won it, was it Firestone? I think it might have been Firestone where he went on Sunday. Everyone else was like grinding to break par. Nobody could break par, and he shot like 63 or something.
Yeah.
He dusted everybody. It's like, what is going on here?
Going into today and before I heard about the rough and the carnage and everything, I really, really, after walking Shinnecock, I was going into the week, even before the last week's tournament, I was going in thinking that Dustin Johnson was going to be the winner this week, and then he won, and I'm like, well, now I can't say that because it's obvious. I mean, he's like the favorite now to win.
Yep. He screwed you.
He screwed me, but now hearing about all the carnage and the short game, and he's had his trouble with the short game, especially mm-hmm. coming down the stretch and Sundays and stuff. But you know, I did see Paulina put up an awesome picture from like her private jet looking over Long Island, and that was something.
She's having a good couple.
So he's going to have a good weekend.
Definitely.
No matter a lot what. Going on. It's going to be a great week. U.S. Open week. We're here. We're credentialed. That's all I got.
Hit it hard.
Hit it hard.
Well, I've won and lost against the best. This old road's been a hell of a test. I'm still driving. I ain't slowing down. There's rules I love to break and bend, mistakes I've made again and again, but I tell you this, my friends, I'm still around. I hit it hard, man, so far, man, no laying up, no holding back, ain't afraid of nothing, it's a natural fact. I hit it long, man, till it's gone, man, keep taking chances, living large. I hit it. People would have given up by now. All the rough I've seen, these ups and downs, somehow I just keep on playing through. So all you critics, pull up a chair. At the winner's circle soon, I'll be there with a high five and a smile for you. Hit it hard, man. Tell me how to live my life. These lawyers and strings spending money like my ex-wives. Sure, I gamble and I drink and smoke 3 packs a day. Hell, ain't country music supposed to be this way? It's from the heart, man. I hit it hard, man. So far, man. I hit it hard, I hit it, I hit it, I hit it hard, I hit it hard, man.
keep hitting it hard, man. How about you?